He has been a professional money manager for the last 18 years. He is a regular contributor to the Fox Business Channel and Bloomberg Radio. In addition to this, he is a regular contributor to TheStreet.com and MarketWatch.com. Now he's live here on the Wall Street Business Network. Here is Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the March 30th edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And in fact, the quarter ends tomorrow. And we're having one big blast here today, it looks like. Who let the dogs out? We start off the week with a huge rally in the market. The Dow right now is up 266 points. Wow, welcome to the new week. The Dow is at 17,978. The S&P 500 is also celebrating this Monday. It's up 21 points right now at 2,082. The NASDAQ is up a whopping 43 points. The NASDAQ is at 4,934. The NASDAQ up 43 points right now. We've got crude oil. 48.82, which is where it seems to be settling in right now in the high 40s. Gold is at 11.84, where it's been settled for an awfully long time now. The euro is at 1.0825. That's where the euro is at right now. There's been a little bit of a rally in the euro here recently, and the 10-year yield right now is at 1.95%. So we've seen a little bit of a drop in interest rates here recently in that 10-year yield, but it continues to hang around right around that 2% level is where the 10-year yield has been. Of course, last Wednesday we had a big sell-off in the market, which we're going to analyze today. Was that a shot, a warning shot, fired over the bow? So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management in San Diego, California. And we do have a holiday-shortened week this week as we celebrate Good Friday. We have the end of the quarter this week. I believe we get the non-farm payrolls this week. A lot going on in the market. And every week we analyze here, and every weekend I send out my newsletter asking the question, is the bull market still intact? Is it still safe to be in the market? Because we know at some point in time in the future, that nasty old bear's going to take a bite out of the bull once again. But for the last 6 years and 3 weeks and counting, every week in my newsletter, and I'm a market timer, I've said it's still intact, that bull market. But what about this week? We had a nasty sell-off last Wednesday. In fact, it was one of the worst days of the year. The Dow was down 292 points last Wednesday. The S&P was down about 30 points. And the high-flying NASDAQ got clipped for 110 points. And a lot of the leading sectors, in particular the biotech sector, were under extreme pressure last Tuesday and Wednesday. And, you know, I mean, look, when you have a big day, a big down day like that, doesn't almost everybody ask themselves, is this it? Is this the end? Which always makes me wonder how many times over the last 6 years have investors fled the market during this six-year run thinking that it was the end. And every time it wasn't the end, was it? The bull market has continued, as witnessed by the fact that we continue to hit new highs on the bull, on the S&P, on the Dow, on the NASDAQ. That's a primary uptrend. That primary uptrend has been in place since March of 2009, and as of last week's newsletter, it was still in place. We're going to examine the big picture today, which is a very important exercise that we do on a weekly basis, because we want to look for any signs, any signals, any clues, any hints that the next bear may be approaching. Because the last bear was pretty nasty. It took a bite out of homes, took a bite out of the equity in our homes, it took a bite out of our wallets, it took a bite out of our jobs, it took a bite out of our portfolios. So we always want to keep our antennas up, alert for the warning signs that the next bear market is looming, and the next recession is looming, and that the expansion in the U.S. economy has peaked and is now starting to contract. Were there any signs in last week's bashing? Why did the market all of a sudden get bashed for all of those points on Wednesday? Well, you know, one reason, the further this bull market goes, the more nervous we get, right? Aren't we on higher alert today than we were 4 years ago or 3 years ago? We know that the average business cycle over the long haul has been about 5 years. And now here we are in the seventh year of this current business cycle. What gives? We should be nervous, right? We're living on borrowed time right now, aren't we? Well, you know, the Fed and the extraordinary actions by the Fed in today's world have definitely changed the business cycles, have prolonged the business cycles, have made the contractions shorter, and have made the recoveries longer, it would seem. And I compared in my newsletter over the weekend the economic cycles and the cycles of the stock market from bear to bull to bear, to the tide coming in and out of a large body of water, which I live on, which I can see from my office. Not only do I watch that body of water from my office, I live on that body of water at my home, and I fish on that body of water. And as I look right now, I can tell that the San Diego Bay is full to the brim. That means it's high tide. And it looks to me from here that the tide is still coming in. And that's where we've been in the U.S. economy for the last 6 years. We've had the tide coming in. Economic expansion has been taking place. Jobless claims continue to drop or remain about the same. The unemployment numbers continue to come down. GDP continues at a positive pace. Yes, it's been decelerating lately, but the economy is still growing. The tide is still coming in. But we also know that at some point in time, just like today, later this morning, the tide is going to finally reach its apex and then start to recede. The same thing's going to happen in the U.S. economy at some point in time. I guess what we want to know is we want to get the heck out of Dodge right about the time that economy peaks, right? Right about the time the stock market peaks. Is this the peak at 18,000 on the Dow? Is this the peak at 5,000 on the NASDAQ? Well, nobody really knows. We asked those same questions as the NASDAQ crossed 4,000. And it wasn't the peak yet, was it? We asked those same questions when the Dow crossed 17,000, and it wasn't the peak yet. It still had further to go, and it may still have further to go yet. And really, it comes down to some very simple mathematics, which we'll go through during today's show. To me, it's those simple mathematics that will be the biggest clue of all as to when the tide of this current economic cycle and of this current bull market has finally reached its apex and is beginning to recede. I think it's also important to remember that markets are forward-looking. It's not going to wait until the tide starts to recede. The market will start selling off before the numbers start showing up that the tide is receding, because the market is forward-looking. What is the market forward-looking at? Well, that's the numbers that I did over the weekend in my newsletter, which we'll get to here in a little bit during the show. We do know that back in 2008, that the tide finally reached its apex. Let's see, somewhere in, 2007. That's when the tide peaked. in the economy in the U.S. was in 2007. And it was followed by a nasty sell-off, a nasty contraction in the economy in 2008 and 2009. And then in March of 2009, the tide started coming back in. Where are we at right now? Are we getting to that apex? What caused last Wednesday's nasty sell-off? Was it a warning shot over the bow? When we come back, we'll take this discussion a little bit further. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app. Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with Bristol Money Manager Bill Gunnarsson. As you know, I've been a bull on the market since March of 2009. I haven't changed my stance on the market. I've grown cautious at times. We've had all kinds of threats and fiery darts thrown at the bull market. You know, we've had tax tsunamis. We've had government shutdowns. We've had all kinds of fiery darts. We've had wars and rumors of wars thrown at the market. All kinds of things that would cause fear, that would strike fear in an investor's heart. But every single time, those fiery darts turned out to be just that. They went away and the market continued on its merry way. And the bull market has continued. And as of last week in my newsletter, I'm still bullish on the market. Now, there was a big sell-off last Wednesday that caused me to take pause and figure out what the heck is going on here. We had a massive sell-off in the market that was really quite scary. And the reason that it happened is really quite simple. There's this extreme correlation between earnings and stock price appreciation. Let's just use IBM as an example. IBM's earnings in 2008 were $8.89, and they continued to grow year by year. They went from $8.89 to $10.01 to $11.67 to $13.44 to $15.25. Finally, in 2013, they peaked at $16.64. And what did the stock do? Well, IBM's earnings were growing. The stock went from 130 all the way up to 215. But what's happened since then? IBM's earnings finally peaked at 1664, and then they started dropping. And now they've leveled off. And you can see that almost exact correlation in the chart of IBM. You can see the stock ascending during the earnings growth in the company. You can see the stock peak and top out as earnings topped out. And then you can see the stock roll over and start to drop as earnings started to contract. And now that earnings have finally leveled off at IBM, so has the stock. It's leveled off. And what's it going to take for IBM stock to start going up again? They're going to have to figure out a way to grow their earnings again. And until that happens, it's going to be a sideways stock. Markets do the same exact thing. As we go back to the last bear market, earnings were growing on the S&P 500. You see, IBM is just one component. But when you take a look at all 500 components, they have an aggregate sum of earnings, right? So we can give the index an earnings number. It's the sum of all the parts. And the sum of all the parts in the S&P 500 were growing. 2005, the S&P 500 earned $73 per share. That's the aggregate of the 500 companies that make up the S&P 500. They grew again in 2006. And in 2007, they were anticipating more growth. But what happened? That growth topped out, and it was getting ready to start to recede. Well, last Wednesday's sell-off happened because there was a downwards revision to this quarter's earnings estimates, 2015. The quarter ending on Tuesday of this week. The first quarter of 2015 will come to an end. And there's a lot of companies that have been under pressure from two big factors that have caused the S&P 500 people to lower the earnings estimates for 2015 for the first quarter, which ends this week. And when you lower one quarter, well, that also has an impact on the full year. The earnings estimates for 2015 are now lower than they were last week. And that happened last Tuesday and Wednesday, which caused the big sell-off. Then why hasn't the market continued to sell off, Gunnarsson? because the market adjusted. That adjustment is now over, and now it looks ahead to the actual earnings. And as I went through all 500 companies in the S&P 500 last week to see which ones have had the downward revisions and which ones have had the upward revisions, there were a couple of patterns that became very apparent. Most of the S&P 500 components that have had downwards revisions to their earnings have been oil related. Let me just look at some of the companies that have had major downwards revisions to their earnings. Cooper Cameron, Baker Hughes, Anadarko Petroleum, Apache, Amaretta Hess, Halliburton, Ensco, EOG Resources, Devon Energy, Diamond Offshore, Chesapeake, Range Resources, Rig, which is, Rig is that offshore drilling company, Transocean Offshore. PXD, which is Pioneer Resources. NOV, which is National, it used to be National Oil Well, now it is National Oil Well Varco. Noble Energy. Those are the companies. What do they have in common? They're all energy related. The energy related components of the S&P 500 have had an impact, a negative impact on the S&P 500 earnings estimates for this year. And those chickens are coming home to roost. Now, the other companies that have also had downwards revisions, Caterpillar, well, it's a multinational being affected by a strong dollar. Let's see, Wynn, which is the gambling stock out of Las Vegas, Precision Cast Parts, Mattel, Jacobs Engineering, kind of a hodgepodge. On the other side of the equation, most of the companies that have had upgrades to their earnings have been medical related. Celgene, Becton Dickinson, Cerner, Humana, and the others have been kind of recipients of low oil prices, such as Delta Airlines. And then there's another hodgepodge. Monster Energy's had upgrades. But the overall result is that the earnings estimates for this year comes down to one number. They were right around $125 to $128 for the S&P 500. They were downgraded last week to $120. That's a big downgrade. And where were they at last year? 117. Two things we learned from this. We're still growing, but expectations for this year have been lowered considerably. When we come back, I want to look at what impact that will have on the market this year, but more importantly, is this downwards revision going to continue to happen? Have earnings peaked in the S&P 500? If they have, we're in trouble. We'll be right back.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
There's a child sitting on a hard metal chair, clutching tightly to the trash bag that holds everything she owns. She's there because her father abuses her, and her mother doesn't care. There are people all around her, but she's never been more alone. A social worker tells her not to worry, that they'll find a place for her soon, as she dials yet another number, this time to a group home, and then a shelter, and then a temporary housing facility. If she called you, would you make a place for this child? The Bear Foundation is a Christian foster care ministry, and our homes and families are made up of people just like you who, when called, answered yes. This is your call. Right now, there's a child or teen who's wondering, where am I going to live? Who will take care of me? You have the answer. Call the Bear Foundation today. For more information about Christian foster care, call 1-866-265-2476, 866-265-2476, or visit christianfostercare.org.
The stock market has never been busier or harder to keep up with. One day biotechs are hot, the next day they are not. High tech is down, low tech is up. And what about bonds and your 401k? So many questions coming faster than ever. But now you can keep up by subscribing to the Best Stocks Now podcast. Take it with you wherever you go. The Best Stocks Now podcast comes to you from the headquarters of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationally recognized firm that handles over $100 million in assets. Not a newsroom. That is why the Best Stocks Now podcast is one of the most popular shows of its kind, and why you see Bill Gunderson so often on so many national financial news shows. Just subscribe one time and it's delivered automatically to your smartphone or computer every day. And don't tell your accountant, but it's free and easy to find at pwstreet.com. pwstreet.com, the Best Stocks Now podcast. Don't miss a thing. Get it now.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Nearly every day you hear a tragic story on the news about a teenager and the internet. Well, Be Safe Online would like to share some positive news with you. News of families who have prevented similar tragedies because they were protected with the ultimate family internet filter.
A dad from Ohio writes, "It stopped the kids from getting on a few sites that they should not go to. And the best thing is the time restraints. Online time now ends promptly at 11 p.m. No ifs or just a seconds anymore."
Writes a mom in Minnesota, "I questioned my oldest son and he admitted that the ads he saw in a honey magazine made him curious. He went online to check it out and he told me Be Safe Online blocked it. Thank you so much."
And who can forget the dad in Georgia who wrote this? "With Be Safe's help, I managed to keep my 14-year-old away from a guy who, shortly after, was in the paper for raping another 14-year-old. God bless Be Safe. Go to BeSafeOnline.com and protect your family today. That's BeSafeOnline.com, the letter B, then SafeOnline.com.
And welcome back to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. We're discussing last Wednesday's sell-off, which has kind of faded into the sunset for now. But it's caused me to stop and redo and look at the numbers on the S&P 500 earnings for this year and next year. Because in reality, that holds the key to the next bear market. That's what caused the last one. Earnings finally peaked in 2006, then they leveled off in 2007, and then they started to recede in 2008. And what happened when S&P earnings started to recede in 2008? The market began to recede, didn't it? It was down 12.5% in 2008. It was down another 17% in 2009. And when it was all over, the market had gone down 53%. Earnings on the S&P 500 had gone from $83 per share clear down to $59 per share. The good news is earnings have been growing ever since. But now we've got to watch for that next peak in S&P 500 earnings and the inevitable contraction that will eventually happen that will be the catalyst in bringing on the next bear market. Last Wednesday's sell-off was caused by a downwards revision to S&P 500 earnings for this current quarter that is ending this week. And that downwards revision has mostly been caused by two major factors. Factor number one, low oil prices, which has affected the energy stocks. The S&P 500 is 10 to 12% energy stocks. And when you lower the earnings estimates on those energy stocks, overall it has had a negative impact on S&P 500 earnings. The benefit in other areas such as the retailers and such as the airline stocks and such as the companies who are heavy manufacturers who've been benefited from low oil prices have not offset the steep decline in earnings estimates for the energy patch. The second main factor driving earnings downwards here in earnings expectations downwards here in 2015 has been the strong dollar. The strong dollar has hurt the multinationals that do a lot of their selling overseas. But as I look at the individual companies, there have really not been that many companies that have been impacted by the strong dollar, but just enough to bring S&P earnings estimates for this year down. And that happened last week, right around Wednesday. And when I've said many times, when expectations for earnings change, the markets react immediately. And that was the violent reaction that you saw last Wednesday. And that's a warning. That is a warning shot fired over the bow, because you know what's going to happen when earnings estimates start to recede even further, if they do. But having said that, let's look at those two factors that impacted earnings estimates for this year. Number one, low oil prices. Have we seen the bottom in low oil in oil prices? Is this a temporary thing? More than likely, yes. More than likely, the worst has been done. But if oil prices were to continue to recede, then you would see earnings estimates for the companies in the oil patch continue to recede. But for now, that downwards revision to S&P 500 earnings seems to be a quarter or two that it will impact this quarter and next quarter. And then we'll start to see things level off and start to climb back again. The same with the U.S. dollar. It seems to be a temporary phenomenon. We had an extreme run in the U.S. dollar, a run in a currency that I haven't seen for a long time. I mean, a parabolic chart on the dollar, and now it's starting to come back to earth a little bit. That will level off. So we're going to have a couple of soft quarters as it relates to earnings for the S&P 500. Quarter number one, which will finish this week, and quarter number two, which will end on June 30th of this year. Both of those quarters are going to be watched very closely. The expectations are that they're going to be very soft quarters. Now, that begs the question, are these two soft quarters going to be a trend here? Are the quarters going forward going to continue to get softer and softer? Well, you know what? We don't know right now. That's all we can take are the expectations that are out there on the street right now. And here's how the flow goes right now. Here's the trend. Earnings on the S&P 500 finally bottomed in 2009 when the market bottomed, right? earnings that year fell all the way down to $59.95. That was the trough. And earnings on the S&P have been climbing ever since. You know, a lot of it's due to the quantitative easing and the skids being greased by the Fed. Whatever. Earnings have been growing ever since. They've gone from $59 per share in 2009 to $83 per share in 2010 to $95 per share to $102 per share to $109 per share. Right there was the double mark. Earnings have doubled since the 2009 trough. And last year, earnings on the S&P 500 were about $117 per share. Was that the peak? Well, right now, earnings estimates for this year, 2015 S&P 500, at the current time are $120 per share, not the $125 that they were last week. The good news is, those numbers expected for this year are still greater than last year. Not by much, 2.1%. But as of now, the economy and earnings are still growing, but they're slowing down. And now we have to start looking ahead at next year, 2016. And in my newsletter over the weekend, I did the math on 500 components of the S&P 500. I added them all together. I applied the divisor that I used to come up with S&P earnings per share. And I presented my numbers on 2016 in the newsletter over the weekend. Are they greater than this year or are they less than this year? That is a key indicator. Because if those numbers next year are lower than this year, that means that we've seen peak earnings, just like 2006, and we're headed into a contraction. You can get my newsletter by going to my website at pwstreet.com, and you can see the numbers that I computed for 2016. I computed those numbers by looking at every single component of the S&P 500, getting the latest analyst earnings estimates. And as I said earlier in the show, some companies have had big downwards revisions to their earnings for next year, and some have had upwards revisions to earnings for next year. And the aggregate number I added up on all the S&P 500 companies, applied a divisor, and came up with an earnings estimate for next year. That's a key indicator to watch. We want to make sure that that number next year is higher than this year and last year, because that will tell us whether or not earnings continue to grow on the S&P 500. And I'm going to update that number every single week going forward in my newsletter, because in my book, that is one of the most important factors going forward. When that number, S&P 500 earnings, eventually peaks and starts to contract, as Yogi Berra said, it ain't over till it's over. Then we'll know that it's over. The six-year bull, well, maybe we get to the seventh year, who knows? We have to watch the numbers every single week. Numbers are forward-looking. The stock market is forward-looking. Why is the stock market forward-looking? Because it's looking at forward-looking numbers. There's a lot of forwards in that statement. That's why we have to keep our eye on the ball. We have to keep our eye on forward-looking earnings estimates. And when they start to contract and fall below this year and last year, then we know that we've peaked and that we're headed into the next contraction in earnings. You can get my newsletter by going to my website at pwstreet.com. We'll be right back.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com. Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Jack was ready to quit and justified in wanting out. Ineffective boss, deadweight co-workers, no recognition, a struggling business. He dashed off a blistering resignation by email, then hit the delete key. Now, more coolly, he picked up the phone to arrange an evening with an old mentor. Later, he talked things over with his best friend, who happened to be his wife. The next day, a renewed employee went to work. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. The new Jack was just as aware of his job's shortcomings. Only now, he intended to be the difference he had long wanted to see. The best change to a bad job starts inside us, in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to
function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, we've been talking about a very, very simple concept, a very simple number. That is the earnings for the S&P 500. That's the aggregate earnings for all 500 companies, because there was a pattern that led up to the last bear market of 2008-2009. And it was a pattern that showed that the earnings for the S&P peaked in 2006 and then expectations started to recede. And as expectations started to recede, the bear market was underway. Why wouldn't we watch for that same pattern this time around? Earnings have been growing since 2009 and the market's going up. And as of now, earnings continue to grow. But when earnings finally peak for the S&P 500 and expectations start to recede and those numbers start to fall in coming years, then the next bear market will be underway. I presented the number for 2016 in my newsletter over the weekend. You can get my newsletter by going to pwstreet.com. Are 2016 earnings numbers for the S&P higher than this year and last year, or are they lower? Are we seeing that contraction yet? Well, we took a look at that. Let's next take a look at the scorecard so far this year in 2015. We're off to a very slow start. Why? Because earnings this year are only going to be up about 2% over last year. All things being equal, 2% growth in earnings would equate to 2% growth in the market. Where are we so far? The S&P 500, not counting today, is about dead even on the year. That's because we're going to see very little earnings growth in 2015 over last year. The Dow, as of last Friday, was slightly negative on the year, down 0.6%. There are a couple of indexes within the U.S., however, that are up. The NASDAQ's up 3.3%. Think about it. The NASDAQ doesn't have as much energy exposure as the S&P 500 and the Dow do. Therefore, NASDAQ earnings have not been impacted that much. Not as much as the S&P and the Dow. They have very little energy exposure. The mid-cap index is also up this year, 3.9%, again, because it has less energy exposure. So if you're an index investor, which I don't like that system, that means you're fully invested all the time, which I don't believe in. You want to avoid the indexes that have the most exposure to oil, right? And to the multinationals, because they're the ones that are suffering from this double whammy on S&P 500 earnings, low oil prices, and a strong dollar. And we saw those chickens come home to roost last Wednesday when the market was down like 290 points and the S&P was down 30. There was a downwards revision to S&P 500 earnings on the year. The leading index in the world right now, the China A shares. I owned them at the beginning of the year. I backed out of them. I should have stuck with them. I may get back into them. Why? China is starting to do a little bit of quantitative easing, lowering of interest rates on their own. That's bullish for their markets. China's up 10% so far this year. Europe is up 7% this year, their index. Why? Because they're doing quantitative easing. They're printing money. We're no longer printing money in America. They've picked up where we left off in Europe, where they're printing money. And the European markets are starting to look very interesting right now. But all in all, the U.S. markets are just barely positive so far this year. Why? Because earnings for this year are going to be just slightly higher. And that, you know, we could still see more downwards revisions to earnings this year. Right now they stand at $120 for the S&P 500. But we've got a quarter that ends this week. We've got an earnings season that begins next week. And then we're going to see whether companies are guiding higher or guiding lower for 2016. Because right now, all eyes will be on 2016. Very important number, very important year if this bull market is going to continue. As for now, 6 years, 4 weeks and counting, I put out that I reiterate my bullish stance on the market for now. But I'm watching 2016 very, very closely, and I'll be updating that number on a weekly basis. You can see where the number stands now, and you can see my weekly revisions. That's going to be in the part of the newsletter that's for subscribers and for clients and also for those who want to sample the newsletter for 4 weeks. Look at where my number's at right now, and that number going forward is going to really be the guide to the S&P 500 going forward. You can get my newsletter, get on the mailing list by going to my website at pwstreet.com. And if you say, you know what, I don't have time for all of this. We manage a lot of IRAs, we manage Roths, we manage trust accounts, we manage joint accounts, we manage individual accounts. We have an aggressive style, a conservative style, an income style, and a low-cost ETF tax, low-tax implication style also. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. We do things a little bit differently here. I'm not going to tell you to ride the next bear market down and to stay fully invested because I'm not an index investor. And I'm not going to tell you to, we'll put together an asset allocation for you, an all-weather asset allocation that you can ride through thick or thin. I don't believe in that either because I think there's times when you don't want to have any exposure to some of the assets out there. When interest rates finally start to head back up, I don't want any exposure to the bond market. And when earnings start to contract on the S&P 500, which they inevitably will do at some point in time, I don't want to have any exposure to the stock market. I want to crawl in a hole and hide until the contraction's over. And then come back out when the expansion begins once again. So we do things a little bit differently. Look, everybody has their way of doing things. And after 20 years in this business, I have my way of doing things. And you have to decide which way fits your style and your beliefs the best. 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based, registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.